Welcome to Dispatch in Depth, where we give you the stories behind the science of emergency dispatch. This is the official research podcast of the International Academies of Emergency Dispatch, the world's leading authority in dispatch science. I'm your host, Isabel Gardette, Director of Academics for the International Academies of Emergency Dispatch. In each episode, we'll be bringing you stories of the fascinating people who do research in this area. We'll give you their backstory, including how they got there, what they're working on, and what drew them to the research. These are people who represent the cutting edge in dispatch research, and I hope you'll join us to hear more about them. Welcome to Dispatch in Depth. Today is our last episode as a podcast, and we want to thank all of you for being listeners and for following us on this journey. But today, we have the opportunity to speak to someone who's not only going to take over our peer review journal, but may continue the podcast into a next generation. So stay tuned at the end of this podcast for some information about our next project. So today I want to talk a little bit about our peer-reviewed journal, The Annals of Emergency Dispatch and Response. And before I do that, though, I just want to introduce our guest for today, Alyssa Wheeler.
Hi, thanks for having me, Isabel.
So Alyssa works here in the Academy, and she is going to be the new editor-in-chief for the Annals of Emergency Dispatch and Response. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background?
Sure. I was raised in California and ended up coming to Utah when I was about 16 years old. So that was a massive cultural shift for me. And I went to college here in Utah, studied mathematics and English, which is not very common. About halfway through my mathematics education, I was introduced to statistics and got really excited about the application of mathematics. And that is pretty much my personality. I like concepts and I like things, but then when they get applied, I get really excited and really interested in them. And so I ended up finishing my degree in mathematical statistics and English. And then I went on to work in Washington, D.C. area at the George Washington University Biostatistics Center in Rockville, Maryland. And I worked there for about 5 years on a really cool study that was funded through the National Institutes of Health on preventing diabetes in junior high age students, and enjoyed my work very much in research, and then made my way back to Utah and found the academies here and have been working here on different research projects.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us. I want to talk a little bit about AADR and what it is. So AADR is a peer-reviewed journal. Can you tell us what does that mean?
Okay. So a journal is a publication. And what's special about a peer-reviewed journal is that the content is reviewed by peers in an industry. And these individuals are looked at as knowledgeable experts who would lend credibility and credence to the content that's reviewed. So if you're reading something in a peer-reviewed journal, you can know that this was not just submitted and published without some sort of review process where those that are reviewing it would identify things that possibly were false or incorrect or kind of got off track and might not be the best representation of a phenomenon or something that's been reported.
So peer reviewers are experts who look at what's been submitted to ensure that it's scientifically accurate, that it's well represented, that the conclusions that are drawn matched with the methods that were used, that kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
So for those who are listening who may not know about AADR, which is the short name for our journal, it still is the only peer-reviewed journal of emergency dispatch. It's been around for about 7 years. We're moving into our eighth year in January. It is the only place to publish peer-reviewed science in fire and police dispatching, and one of the few that publishes medical dispatching research. So we're very excited to have this opportunity to share the science and the research that's been done in this field. So as we pass the torch on to Alyssa, we're just going to talk to her a little bit about her background and her vision for the Annals. Up to this point, the Annals has had really two different functions or two complementary functions. One is to offer a place where existing researchers, people who already study emergency dispatch, can publish their findings. Because science and research are really not of much value until they can be used by the people who can apply them on the ground. And that's what you were just talking about, application. So giving researchers a place to publish is one. The other is engaging emergency dispatchers and emergency dispatch professionals in the process of research to get a better understanding of how it happens, to get them involved in actually producing the research. So can you talk a little bit about your vision of those two different goals and why you think they're both important?
Sure. So to address the first one in terms of having a home for this research is kind of what you were explaining. Research is done, for those that do or do not know, often in a vacuum or in a small space on a university or in a small location somewhere that's not connected necessarily to everybody else in that industry. And for the results to be widely known after something is studied and investigated and results are found, there needs to be an opportunity for others to learn about that. And that can happen in many ways. One is professional conferences like Navigator that we have each year. And we do have a research poster section where we can have those that are doing research publish their results and communicate that. Another way, like you have said, is our journal, our peer-reviewed journal, AEDR. And what's really exciting about that is that in public safety, so in the science of emergency dispatch, that covers every single topic that could ever happen to a human in their life. Because at the point of dispatch, we are dealing with human life. And so in order to find results or research that is specific to emergency dispatch, you'd have to search a lot of different types of journals or different types of industries or different types of research that's going on, and then kind of on your own figure out how that could apply to emergency dispatch. But having our own journal that is recognized internationally as a credible, peer-reviewed academic journal or a source where you can trust the research that's coming out of it, it gives people interested in this field and in this research a singular place they can go to find out how things intersect with emergency dispatch. And I guess the example that I'm thinking of is, studying conversation. How does that intersect with a caller and a call taker? Well, within the last year, we've published a few pieces about that specific topic. And so my vision is to include at an increasing rate any topic and any work by researchers that intersects with emergency dispatch, so that if there's something that we're interested in the industry, we can go to Annals of Emergency Dispatch and Response and find it there instead of digging through so many different publications.
Yeah, it's interesting. You touched on something that I've always found fascinating about emergency dispatch generally, which is that it sort of sits at the center of all of these different fields. So you could study sociology and, say, socioeconomics, and it would apply to emergency dispatching in terms of how people access healthcare and which people have access or don't have access to healthcare. You could study psychology, like the psychology of callers or the PTSD that dispatchers have. You could study conversation analysis, like you mentioned, or more traditional medical topics like cardiac arrest and so on. All of those things before, if you wanted to apply those to emergency dispatch or understand the best practices, you'd have to go to a sociology journal and then a psychology journal and then a cardiac arrest journal and so on. But what you're saying is that AEDR really helps us to find people who are doing work in those different areas and have them really specifically apply that work to emergency dispatch.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking. In terms of my goals for the second point that you brought up, in terms of the goal of the journal of AEDR, one of the concepts that is particularly new, I would say, in emergency dispatch and the science of emergency dispatch is the concept of evidence-based practice. And evidence-based practice, its origins start in the medical field. It's often referred to as a three-legged stool. And the three parts of evidence-based practice is external or independent science or research. Another piece of it is what the public or patient sees as being of value. And then the third piece is the clinician or the industry professional's experience. And an individual's experience in any field is a very high value. And we can learn many things in books, and we can experience many things as a receiver of provided services. However, the person that is doing a job day in and day out and really understands that job, understands that industry, understands the process, that becomes very, very valuable in understanding the process and the industry itself. So that's a little general. So let me get specific. What I mean is, in emergency dispatch, if emergency dispatchers are not the ones that are pushing forward the content of the research and of the science, we are missing a huge chunk of information. Because again, it's that application.
I love that you say that, because it's critical that the people who actually do the work both understand and buy into the science and then apply it, or tell us or feedback to the researchers that this may work in theory, but it doesn't work in practice. And it reminds me of a concept from medical research. So in a lot of research, you see that something is statistically significant. And that means that it met some statistical test for how different it was from what was expected to happen. And so that's a good way of measuring things like whether a medication is effective or something. But there's a second characteristic that's called clinical relevance. So something can be statistically significant without being clinically relevant. So maybe this drug performs slightly better than that one in a test, but not well enough to really matter to the population. Or maybe there are so many side effects that nobody's going to want to take it. Or maybe it's so difficult to administer that it's not going to really work for anybody. So that's the that in medicine, that's the practitioner clinician piece of it. They get to say, look, I work with people every day and this isn't going to work, or it's going to work, and then they actually make it happen. And I think your point is that the emergency dispatchers play that same role, that we can do all the research we want here. We researchers at universities can do all the research they want. And unless emergency dispatchers are given the opportunity to hear about it, to understand it, to apply it, then unfortunately it just sits in its ivory tower and doesn't really mean much.
Right. And so that gets us to the vision that I do have for AEDR in terms of the contributors and who are the authors of the content in this journal. And that is that it's industry experienced experts that have, that know this job, that know this industry, that know the work, and can share in a standard, understandable, and accepted manner their knowledge.
Yeah. And in fact, those of you who are listening probably or may already know Alyssa from some of the translational science work that we've done here at the Academy. So translational science is this opportunity to take research and put it into practice. So Alyssa's been the author of our newsletter, the AEDR newsletter. She's worked with researchers in the research workshop at Navigator. She's the author of the research briefs that go out. You've probably seen a Navigator or online. So this opportunity to take the research and the peer-reviewed journal, and peer-reviewed journals tend to be very isolated. They tend to stay within a community of researchers. So, you know, the only people who would have access, for example, to the Journal of Neuroscience Nursing are nurses in neuroscience, right? It's a very small community. So we want to make sure that the research that's done doesn't just stay within this tiny group of people who are doing the work, but that it gets out and that researchers are then engaged, or dispatchers are engaged in the work itself.
That's exactly right.
So I want to talk a little bit about improvement projects. So we've talked a lot in this podcast about research, and we're hoping to move to another format of podcast that talks a little bit more about a broader scope of projects. So we know that one of the issues that we run into is that we hear a lot that people don't necessarily talk to each other from one dispatch agency to another. We'll get people calling us and asking, for example, do you know of anybody who's done a particular kind of project, an outreach project or a a turnover reduction project or something like that. And we'll know of dozens, but they don't know each other. And so we're hoping to get a podcast that will highlight or spotlight some of these projects that people are doing so that people don't have to keep reinventing the wheel. Can you talk a little bit about what you want to do with that project?
Yeah. When I first came on at the Academy, one of the things actually, Isabel, that we talked about in my interview was this concept of a coordinating center. Mm. And so a coordinating center in a multi-site research project is the body of professionals that connect different universities or different research groups that are interested in a certain topic or experiment, and building the power of the results by increasing the number of participants. Mm-hmm. And so this concept is, I think, what you're talking about here. It's that if we have a central body that is aware of what's happening in the field in multiple different places, like different comm centers, different universities, different groups of interest that are vested in this industry, the power that we have to begin to understand phenomenon or begin to understand how something works or to reach out and collaborate with somebody else who's interested in the same thing that we are, it's just exponentially ramped up. Mm. And that's really exciting because, and I've seen this happen so many times just over the last two research workshops that I've been involved in, people will come together for very different reasons. Maybe they do understand what the workshop's about, maybe they don't. But when they get there, they realize, hey, at my center, we are having a problem with this thing. Oh, another person replies, yes, I'm also having the same exact problem. And this is somebody in one state on the East Coast. And then we've got somebody in Texas that is having the same issue. Mm-hmm. And being able to have that conversation and join forces and interest is really powerful and exciting. I think it infuses the effort with more energy and will impact the eventual success of an outcome. Sometimes you get involved in research and it becomes too big for you. So if the project is too big for one, the project perhaps will not be too big for two, three, or four.
Yeah, I've seen that so many times that we go to those workshops or you go to Navigator and you bring up an issue and everyone in the room is having the same issue. And maybe they each feel isolated or don't know how to deal with the issue on their own. But once they connect with each other, then that feels manageable or they see what somebody else has already done. So those of you who have enjoyed the podcast, stay tuned for that new the new version of the podcast coming soon. And before we leave, Alyssa, can you just tell us, what do you see as really exciting in research in the next couple of years for emergency dispatch?
One of the parts of our mission at the Academy here is to promote the profession of the emergency dispatcher. And I'm very committed to that. I honor the work and am just so impressed and grateful that there are individuals that dedicate their lives to this profession. And I want them to be properly trained, supported, compensated, and recognized for the work that they do. The second part of our mission is that we want the public to receive the service that they require in a time of emergency. And some of the work that I've done here at the Academy is reaching out to the community and engaging them in the research to sort of measure how that's going. And I think that I'm really excited about continuing to bridge the gap between our callers and our call takers and making sure that our mission as an academy is realized in that way. So the formal name of this is called Community Engaged Research, and I'm really excited about that.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And to all of you who have listened to the podcast for the last couple of years, thank you so much for joining us. And we're signing off, but stay tuned for the new version of the podcast coming soon. Thanks for listening to Dispatch In Depth. Remember, it really helps us if you rate and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. Dispatch In Depth is hosted by me, Isabel Gardette. Our producer is Becca Barris. Reading Roberts is the technical director, and Scott Robinson is our executive producer.